In Copenhagen, tear gas in the air.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. We continue our special coverage of the UN Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen. Hundreds of protesters attempted to storm the talks today. Police used tear gas to fend them off, arresting hundreds. Marketplace's Sam Eaton was in the middle of it all and joins us live from Copenhagen. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Bill.
Describe the scene for us.
Well, you have people from all over the world, thousands of them, and the most striking thing is how bundled they are against the cold and wind. It's freezing here, and it's snowing this morning. They were yelling revolution and climate justice. Essentially, they were trying to take over the conference and turn it into what they're calling a people's assembly. But, of course, they didn't get very far before they were met with tear gas and riot police. The Bella Center, where the talks are being held, you could pretty much describe as a fortress with all of the world leaders starting to arrive today. I've heard there's nearly a one-to-one ratio of security and police to the number of people inside the talks.
And what exactly are the activists protesting?
Well, I talked to this guy named Dave Blakeney, and he's with the Canadian Union of Coastal Workers. I'll let him tell us what he said.
My take is that there's a staged show of the rich countries who are really nothing but puppets from larger corporate interests who are all wrapping themselves in green.
And this is pretty much the message from the outside, Bill, that the voices of the people most affected by climate change aren't being heard on the inside of the talks, and that the moral issue here about climate change is being buried by corporate interests.
That's Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us live from Copenhagen. Take care, Sam.
Thanks.
In a few minutes, I'll ask an executive at the energy giant BP why his company has reduced its investment in renewable energies. He's there in Copenhagen as well. First, Inflation Watch continues ahead of the Fed's policy announcement later today on interest rates. The government said this morning consumer prices rose 0.4% last month, mostly thanks to rising energy costs. And here to comment, Chief Economist David Weiss at S&P in New York. He joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, energy prices are volatile, so is this really an inflationary number?
Well, the energy prices clearly are. If you filled up your car recently, you should realize that prices are a lot higher than they were a few months ago, although still a heck of a lot lower than they were last summer. But good news is, excluding food and energy, or basically excluding energy, there's no inflation out there. The CPI was flat.
What does it mean that producers' prices came out surprisingly high yesterday, and then consumer prices look, as you say, relatively tame?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, producer prices always tend to be more volatile because of the timing. The price at the pump doesn't vary as much as the wholesale price of oil varies. So that was a lot of it. And then the other thing, if you look at it year on year, it's not as different. It's 2.4 on the wholesale prices, 1.8 on the consumer prices. That's not quite as different as the monthly numbers indicate.
And then briefly, David, the government reported this morning housing starts rebounded in November. The housing numbers have been pretty decent lately. What's going on here?
Well, basically, home prices have dropped enough that they're starting to look attractive again. You're getting people out shopping, sales are up, and we saw some housing start increase in November. Don't take it too seriously. It's the winter. This doesn't represent a lot of starts.
Got it. David Weiss, chief economist at S&P New York, with us live. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are up almost 1% so far this morning, but Asian stocks were mostly lower today. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 49 points to 10,452. Federal Reserve policymakers wrap up that two-day meeting today. As I mentioned, they're expected to keep their key interest rate down near zero. What's risen this morning is Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's visibility. Time magazine just named him its Person of the Year, saying, quote, Bernanke didn't just reshape U.S. monetary policy, he led an effort to save the world economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
One of the big energy companies in Copenhagen this week is BP, which is fond of saying its letters stand for Beyond Petroleum. The company said it invested more than $1 billion in renewable energies last year. But this year, BP says that's fallen to somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion. BP's director of European government affairs is Howard Chase. Howard, welcome.
Good morning.
Why has BP decided to scale back its renewable energy investments?
Nothing's changed in the strategy. I think what we're doing here is concentrating on what we really can do. Let me give you a couple of examples. Biofuels, we believe, can make a really valuable contribution both to energy security, but also, of course, to reducing CO2 from transport. The other really good example is if you make electricity from natural gas, you can make it with much less CO2 than from, for example, coal. Those, I think, are two good examples that aren't necessarily renewable, but they are much lower carbon forms of energy.
Well, sometimes the government pushes things along with subsidies. Why not invest some of the $5.33 billion in profit from the third quarter into something that might stand on its feet years down the road?
Absolutely. And first, we are investing. And secondly, I accept your point about governments. But you need to invest in something where you can be fairly confident it is going to work in the longer term.
What, if anything, could happen at this Copenhagen conference to draw more of BP's money into renewable energies?
I think for all of us in business, we're looking to see a more predictable and clear long-term framework for running our businesses. So if governments can agree a real framework on a global basis, a single agreement, if you like, going on into the future, then I think all businesses can plan on a much longer-term basis. That's really what we're looking for from Copenhagen.
Howard Chase is Director of European Government Affairs at BP. Howard, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Join us later today for the latest from Copenhagen on Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal. And finally, after 300 functional years, British bankers today are expected to abolish the check. People aren't writing checks like they used to. Banks prefer online payments and debit cards. To protesters who say they don't want to go electronic, the Daily Mirror newspaper reports bankers are promising an alternative. They're just not saying what it is. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.